Welcome to church on the first Sunday after Christmas. Let's begin our worship, stand and sing. Our call is the second verse of O Little Town of Bethlehem.
For Christ is born of Mary,
Joy to the World, 246. Responsive reading, Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His... Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars.
Praise the Lord, highest heavens, and all waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created.
Who established them forever and ever, and fixed their bounds which cannot be passed.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and smoke, stormy wind fulfilling God's commandment.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
East and all cattle, breeding things and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth.
Young men and maidens together, old men and children.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven.
God has raised up a horn for His people, praise for all His faithful ones, for the people of Israel who are near their God. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Praise the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Welcome to Walnut Grove this morning. We're so pleased to have you here. I've noticed, looking around, a number of visitors. We're so glad you made a choice to be in worship with us today. We know you're going to experience the living God in our midst, because this is a prepared space. We pray over this space and the people who will be seated here on Sunday, and with an expectation that God will reveal himself to people. And we're grateful, because we know you'll experience that today. We have a time for testimony and for praise, and there ought to be a few of those around here this morning. So if you have a word of testimony or praise to God you want to share, now's the time. Yes, ma'am.
Praise the Lord. Linda's home.
To her home, home?
Home, home, yes.
Praise God. Well, we got a card from her and Trish. Yes. All right. So as part of this, it's spelled properly, is from Trish. And then I meant legibly. I said properly, but... All right, it says, there's just no way to say thank you to everyone who prayed, brought food to Trish while she was sick. All the calls to check on Linda, the prayers for her recovery. You never realize how many friends you have until push comes to shove. The prayers are amazing. We would not have gotten through these first days and weeks without them. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And Linda says toes too. We love you all. As a coming home present, Linda was sent home with the pink eye. And then it shows a winking smiley face. Oh, and then Linda signs it, all my love to you, Linda and Trish. Okay. Other words of praise and thanksgiving. Mandy?
Last Sunday was a really hard day for me. And I texted Chris not knowing how sick he was. And it said, could you please pray for the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to intercede?
A really good answer. The best answer. That's awesome. Others?
My family safely came from Kentucky and spent time with me. Where it normally takes them 6 hours to get here, it took them 8.5 hours.
Wow.
Bad weather. And
yeah.
Pleased to think we're not.
And we're. Anyway. We're extremely grateful for a number of folks who had to travel long distances and back, and grateful for God's travel mercies. Others? Mark?
Our baby's got a home soon for a few days.
That's always a good thing. All right. What about our prayer concerns today? Arlene?
Yes, I need for y'all to pray for me Tuesday. I'm going to have a procedure done at that baby. They're going to enlarge my esophagus.
Yeah.
May not be able to speak for a few days. Of course, Ray's happy about that.
He might say he's happy, but I know better.
But I got to do that at 8:15. So
yeah, that procedure entails a little bit of discomfort, but it's a good thing, and we'll pray for the very best outcome. Right. Others? Diane?
My friend Judy Russell, she has RSV.
RSV? Okay. Judy Russell. Others? Jenny?
Virginia Payne. She's 94. She's just
needs prayer. Yeah. We want to remember the family of Jean Clayton. Passed away suddenly Christmas Eve. And just... very, very quick service we held on Thursday, but it was a full church, and she'll be greatly missed. She came and stood alongside us in our toughest part of our struggle last year, and was a faithful attender, and we're definitely going to miss her, but pray for that family as well. Eric?
Mama's getting over COVID, and Greg has tested positive for COVID this morning. And she hasn't seen us since before Christmas.
Yeah.
So it's starting to get to her.
All right.
And then remember Charmaine's family.
Charmaine tragically lost, well, it's always tragic, but she lost her nephew in a sudden accident. I believe that was Christmas Eve as well. And I want to pray for them. The Blackman family. Arlene?
Some of you
Carti in your prayer. She was a teacher and principal at Dorman, and they're going to be having her service this coming Saturday.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We want to remember the Rollinses. They're all at the urgent care this morning with the flu. Brenda?
Just prayers for Julie Moon.
Julie Moon.
For the issues.
Julie had some strongly negative results from her testing, and it's kind of working to unpack some of that and decide, well, actually needs more word from a doctor this week. And but just pray for her as she gets into that mindset of, you know, overcoming. Others? And all the unspoken concerns as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, our hearts have been filled with the joy the thoughts of Christ's birth ought to bring for every believer. We've also been surrounded by family and friends, and people who are dear to us in many different ways. We've also had the tinge of sadness and been with those who are in the rawness of immediate grief and pain. Whatever is going on in the world or in our lives, we cannot dismiss or set aside the incarnation that God has come in the flesh among us. Today, our celebration, our hearts are full. God, we thank you so much that you not only create, but that you love what you create, that you take pleasure and joy in it. We thank you that even when it became set in disarray and outside of your will, that you had a plan. And God, that you're consistently working to reach out to each and every one of us to demonstrate your great love. God, anoint this service with your presence. We need an outpouring of your Spirit. We have had a full gamut of all kinds of emotions, feelings, turmoil in our hearts and minds. We need the settled peace that comes from your presence. And God, the revelation of who you are in the midst of this congregation during this service today. Come, Holy Spirit, set aside whatever agendas are not in line with your will, and have your way among us. We pray for those we've named. We also bring to mind and to your attention the things that are known only to you in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for your healing work of love. We thank you for the many answers to prayers, and we thank you for allowing us to be a part of healing through prayer. And now, God, as we honor our King, we ask that Jesus would be exalted in all that is accomplished here today. And it's in his name that we pray the prayer he taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Well, we have, I'm sure, a few announcements procedurally about beans and greens and other things. So, Brenda?
Want to bring today, Becky and I will be in the kitchen for couple hours this afternoon. If you don't do that, we'll be back in the morning. Have your food here no later than 11.
No later than 11.
And if you're a visitor today, please come back and eat tomorrow. That will give you over the edge.
Big community tradition at Walnut Grove. We always see faces we sometimes don't see, but many, I think people here today actually had their first experience of Walnut Grove at Beans and Greens. So, and don't mention to Becky about the smell. Boys?
If you're a visitor here today or a member or not a member or whatever, we invite you to start the new year off. Sometime next week at 9:45 or 9 whatever time it's set to be.
Just come on, more flexible.
And those coffee will flow liberally. All right, thank you, boys. Okay, Justin?
Men's club this Tuesday.
Men's club is Tuesday, 7
o'clock.
7 o'clock. Methodist men on Tuesday at 7. There won't be any Bible study on Tuesday. There won't be prayer time in the sanctuary on Thursday. I'll be out of town, but I appreciate your willingness to get started again next week on those things. Others? All right, well, next week we're going to be taking time to address leadership of the church and to discuss our expectations for leadership in the coming year, laying out our hopes and also our guidelines for how we're going to proceed in leading our church in a new expression, and look forward to having everyone be here and be a part of that next week. Also, we're going to be beginning a long sermon series, a couple of months, into human relationships. Human relationships. And we'll look first at our first relationship, which was with God. And we'll move our way through those. And you may want to wear some loose clothing on some of those Sundays, just in case your neck or your collar feels a little tight some days. Okay? Looking forward to being with you on that. All your others. Well, if not, let's receive God's tithe and our offering. Lost. I don't know how to get around this thing. Look. Father, the truest expression of our love and obedience of you is when we offer back to you what first belongs to you. God, we ask that you would dedicate these gifts specifically and directly for the work of your kingdom in the coming year, that you'd release us, Lord, with the spirit of generosity and freedom that allows our gifting as well. In Jesus' name, amen. please stand for the reading of the gospel?
The gospel reading today comes from Luke 2, 22 through 40. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of two turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is what we believe.
Thanks be to God. Let's present our offering at the altar. see you. It's time to let the children go. Those who wish to go. Huh? I didn't realize. I didn't know what to sing. I was waiting on to see what verse y'all started on because I couldn't.
And if you never know the words, just mouth watermelon, watermelon.
Watermelon. $2.34, watermelon, watermelon. Well, I was so grateful to be able to make a fast phone call last week and have truly capable people take over all the services and carry everything out and know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I didn't even have to be concerned or worried. And to me, that's a sign our congregation is arriving at discipleship. When, you know, we just have leaders, but everyone is capable and willing to step in and do a thing. And it's really comforting. But I do appreciate all the prayers and expressions of concern. We were really sick. And grateful that it seems to have died with us, that particular thing. So, knowing that I would have a rabid Calvinist here today, I'm just kidding, Lee. It was directed at him. Very grateful to have Lee Mosley with us. Pastor serves, has been serving in Jonesville, two churches, and is sort of a free agent now. And grateful to have him with us in our worship today. So now I have to actually deliver a good sermon. But I want to talk to you today about being the chosen. So we can affirm for each other today what has happened for us has happened for us. It was not of our choosing even, rather someone choosing us. Okay? So let's take a minute to pray and then we'll get into Scripture. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that it comes to us in ever fresh ways, but with an eternal and steadfast meaning, that you have gone to any length to redeem us. And we pray, God, that as we consider this word today, it will change us, and that our relationship to you will be adjusted, where we have not maybe appreciated or fully felt the effect of being the redeemed, we might now truly and fully and more with more appreciation express to you our great love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to take a text today from Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. And Paul is writing, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I've had the rare privilege of being present with families in court. I'm not sure, I don't remember my purpose for presence, but I believe I was just witnessing. Powerful thing. I've been there when the child was formally and officially, legally adopted by a family. I was an outside witness to something intangible happening among people. Adults choosing a child and having the child's entire view of him or herself transformed by the choosing. One of the greatest marvels of God's creation for me has been that of adoption. And we see it among animals. We know that in the animal kingdom there are many who adopt and some who eat the children. But especially among human adults. Couples desiring a child, selecting a child to be their own. A spouse, a new spouse, legally adopting the child or children of their new mate. This kind of chosenness and the knowledge of chosenness can be a source of great affirmation in a young person's life. To be picked out, especially if there had been previously a sense of abandonment, bewilderment, lostness. It's something I think that natural-born children either assume or never even give a second thought to, that they are the desired outcome of the estate of marriage between one man and one woman. Today's text affirms that God has chosen some to be his adopted children. And more than that, all his adopted children have the status of son. Contrary to popular cultural belief, all people are not children of God. The popular saying, we are all God's children, is not true according to Scripture. We are God's creations. We have been created by God. And as such, he attaches divine sacredness to each person. Every person has divine and sacred worth and value to God. But because of the fall, all humans are under the curse of sin and naturally opposed to God. Defining sin in the sense that anything that is contrary to God's will for us, or anything that is not pleasing to him, that's the curse of sin. And because we're born into sin, humans are enemies of God. According to Scripture, you can't minimize sin. It's for a preacher, it's almost impossible to describe sin with enough gravity and with enough effect to cause people to understand. We almost have to undertake that understanding on our own. To ask God ourselves, God, show me what you think about sin. God despises sin. The impulse to take a pencil from work, you know, office theft, to do dastardly little things because we want to. God despises everything that sets a barrier between us and him. There is no way to say it in a way that will cause you to feel it, except through the power of the Holy Spirit today, what sin has done to our relationship to a holy God. To say that God is love is an absolute truth. And thank God, a premium truth, right? But there is never a love that can be expressed by God that doesn't encompass his total holiness, his absolute otherness, and his total authority over what he has created, his sovereignty. Is not breached by sin. However, sin in my life breaches his sovereignty in my life. God despises sin, and we are eaten up with it. We are consumed with it. even the minds of good church people today are darkened, not only with regard to sin, but with their relationship to the Creator. Humanity is under, as this scripture tells us, the law of sin and death. It was into that world that Jesus came, born to a woman under the law. Jesus, a human, under the law. The law of sin and death. The law that could not be met, that humanly seemed impossible to carry out. Jesus was born under that law in order that, verse 5 says, he might be our Redeemer. To redeem something is to pay a price. For Jesus to be our Redeemer, it means to pay an ultimate price. Jesus paid an ultimate price for your sin, and it was because of God's determination that it was necessary to redeem us, to purchase us at that supreme price. This is God electing us. This is God sending a Savior into the world that we might all be redeemed, all who accept His offer of free grace. Choosing us. Choosing those who would then choose Jesus to be His adopted children. We become the chosen children of God Almighty. It says He gives us the Spirit of His Son in our hearts. All who call on His name, who confess Him as Lord, He sends a Spirit, the Spirit of God into our hearts, and through that Spirit, it cries through us, Abba, Father, which Abba more accurately means Daddy. And this is the witness. God provides. Nothing we do. God provides the Spirit to come into us. It is the Spirit of God Himself who cries out, Father! And it's in that awakened state we now rise to become children of God. To be allowed to call out, Father, Abba, Daddy God. This is the assurance of our salvation. This witness within our hearts. And not just children, okay? Paul is using a specific metaphor here because he wants us to know we are all sons. Paul has stated several times in Scripture, there's now no, you know, male or female, Jew nor Greek. He uses sons here to declare that we all have first child status. We have the heir status as eldest sons. All of us together have sonship with God. We are no longer outcasts and we are no longer slaves to sin. The power of sin has been broken. The lure of sin continues. The ability to sin and exercise free choice remains. God gave us the freedom to choose, but He elected divinely a choice in the beginning to redeem. That any who would call on Jesus Christ would be saved. And He would empower them with His Spirit to walk in that freedom as heirs of a promise. Chosen children of God. John Wesley printed a tract in 1758 and said this, we believe that in the moment Adam fell, he had no freedom of will left. But that God, when of His own free grace, He gave the promise of a Savior to him and his posterity, graciously restored to mankind a liberty and power to accept the proffered salvation. This is the beginning of Wesley's understanding of prevenient grace. A peculiar term that means before we knew of anything of God, God was coming to us. We talk about that 90 and the 9. God coming for us before we knew we needed coming for. God making a way, providing a way. And then enlightening our hearts with the understanding that we could be saved. That we could reflect God, become His children. That is prevenient grace. God choosing us through Christ Jesus before we could choose Him. And through Christ, He allows us the freedom to choose or not to choose. We've been saying now for several years, 4 or 5 now, keep your eyes on Jesus. It was this idea that there was a bouncing ball in the beginning, you know, back even before COVID, and we were watching the crazy games of the church going back and forth and say, you know, don't watch the bouncing ball. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I say to you today, let's remember that He's the author and finisher of our faith in 2024. Let's remember that we need to keep choosing the one who first chose us. And let's deny together that we have to be slaves to sin. That the law and its power over us has been broken by Jesus Christ. We will no longer be judged under that law, and we are no longer slaves to the effect of that law. We not only have the freedom from the penalty assessed for our sin, we now have the freedom not to sin, to walk as children of light, to be actually holy people. Now, when I speak of holiness today, I'm not speaking of the length of your skirt or whether you swim in a swimming pool with a mixed sex. I'm talking about holiness that oozes from the life of a person who is consumed with love. The love of God. A love that begins in our heart when we believe and continues when we begin to get the gravity of what God has done to overcome my sin and your sin. The holiness of a love in a life that is so free. Freed from every bondage. Declared free and actually free. And what God ordained that we should be free. Nothing I ever did surprised Him. There's no act or decision I can make today in my free will that can surprise a sovereign God. And what He has ordained, while He has ordained individuals and certain people to do certain things in history, and while He has called out certain ones to walk in a certain path, He gives most of us, 99.99999% people, the ability to choose. And that is a great liberty and an awesome freedom from a God who loves us. Today, you may not fully understand your sonship. Especially if your images about fatherhood and being a child or a son are affected by your own personal experiences. But I can assure you today that if the Spirit of God witnesses with your spirit that you are a child and that God is your Father, you have within you the capacity to accept your chosenness. That God loves you. God loved you enough to pick you out. To dream you up. To have hopes for a life filled with goodness and compassion. A hatred for sin. And a love for people. To bring the very kingdom of God to earth. Once we realize. You and I. Warts and all, we're the chosen. Let's be the chosen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to take some time now to reflect on this message. Invite you to encounter God in the spirit of prayer. If you have business at this altar, God calls to your heart this morning. That's what this altar is for. There'll be other people here with other business. If you want to receive Christ as your Savior at this altar today, and you need assistance, raise your hand and I'll come and pray with you. Otherwise, we'll leave you alone during this time. Final hymn is Angels We Have Heard on High, 238. Let's stand and sing together.
Thank you.